Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have three rounds of the magazine. Round number one, there's been a lot of hullabaloo about Clarence Thomas and all the statues that go along with his super uber rich friend. We're going to talk about that a little bit because that story is absolutely wild. Round number two, the DOD had a massive leak of classified documents and have a huge, huge amount of egg on their face that legit could affect our standing in the world and how some of our allies look at us, because they're tired of our intelligence leaks. They really are. I don't blame them one bit for being sick of it. And finally, we're going to have another round about good initiative, bad judgment. We're going to take a look at some of the stories around the internet and see what's going on there. And Kate, do we have a roundup?
Yeah, I have a couple things, a couple little dabble things.
We'll have a roundup today, and I will do my best for the first time in 4 or 5 weeks to remember that we're going to do that roundup before kicking us over to save rounds and alibis. And we're going to start that now. What do we have, Kate, for round number one?
All right. First up, this story involves a gender.
This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. The person I was before I joined the Marine Corps, the person that I was in the Marine Corps, right after the Marine Corps, now are totally different folks. And therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't even know what we want or why we react the way that we do until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with the licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. I think it's super easy to get on BetterHelp, and that's something that I've been using since COVID. I used to go into my doctor's office, into my therapist's office, and it took me so long to get there. I had to go across town because my insurance didn't cover anybody near me. It was about a 30-minute drive, 30 minutes there, hour-long process of getting into the appointment. So basically, by the time I had been done with my hour-long appointment, it took me about 2.5 hours to do all that. You don't have to do that with BetterHelp. You can connect with somebody right away, a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero.
Gentlemen, a billionaire by the name of Harlan Crow. And dare I say, that's an all-time bad guy name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't care what side of the fence you're on. Harlan Crow is the bad guy in a James Patterson novel. He's doing bad things.
Old Harlan,
He's mixing chemicals in a little ball that's going to blow up the world. I think.
I love the Alex Cross novels. Those were good, man. Do you guys read those?
And could Harlan Crow not be in one?
Oh, he definitely could be. Yeah,
that's up there. It's Harlan Crow, Darth Vader, Hans Gruber from Die Hard, and Dieter von Kunt from MacGruber,
and Johnny Hopkins and Sloan Kettering.
Right, and that too. So, you know, just something to think about. All-time bad guy name. But anyway, big news this week that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has what many are saying is a pretty unethical friendship with a GOP mega donor, Harlan Crow. And more details about, you know, everyone's like, who is this Harlan Crow guy who's been paying for all these, they said like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of trips and experiences for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And they're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to accept gifts, especially from a major political donor. Gets a little dicey. So people are wondering, who is this Harlan Crow guy? And one of the details that emerged is that he's a major collector of Adolf Hitler items, among many other weird things. Okay. So the Washington
Post. And not every, like, do you guys, Brett, what's his name? Brett and Tom Segura. Brett, what's the other Brett's name?
Bert Kreischer.
Did you guys see that Tom Segura bought him Hitler's cup?
Hitler's cups, yeah.
For his birthday, yeah, he bought Hitler's cup. Like, I think if you do that to fuck with your friend, it's totally different.
Yeah, it'd be like, what are you going to do with
this? It's totally different
now
than this guy's insane library of Hitler artifacts.
Yeah, so the Washingtonian on Friday resurfaced this old 2014 article by the Dallas Morning News where a tour of Harlan Crow's Dallas area mansion revealed the billionaire's historical collection, including a startling amount of Nazi memorabilia. A signed copy, like here's a couple examples, a signed copy of Mein Kampf, signed by Hitler, a pair of the failed artist-turned-dictator's cityscape paintings, Nazi medallions, swastika-embossed linens, and more. This reminds me of this Always Sunny episode, one of the earliest episodes where they go and visit one of the grandparents in a nursing home, and they're going through his stuff, and they find all this Nazi shit, and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, so what the fuck I is think this? Like, you have, the, like, one cup, or, like, maybe your grandpa, you know, fought in World War II, brought, like, one thing home. You have
if
one
thing. Badass, if your badass soldier grandpa stole something from Adolf
Hitler. Right, like a pistol. Like, so many people think having a Nazi pistol or whatever is cool.
Yes, but when it goes beyond just one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it's a little weird when you got numerous artifacts of the Nazi regime.
Like, you bring home a helmet that has a bullet hole in it or something like that through the dome. I feel like that's a good thing to have up on the old mantle in your office. This kind of shit, though, I read from one report that it said that it felt like you were one of the rooms in his library felt like you were walking into a Third Reich building, like, because there was so much shit.
Here's a question specifically. Like, if you were fighting in World War II and you stole, like, or, like, took off of the Nazis, like, a flag or something, I feel like that's something you got to keep tucked away in a drawer and not displayed. Am I right?
Yeah.
People were said, and so multiple different people who had been to his home talked about how shocking it was to, and these are people, like, on his side, too, being like, and then you walk into that room, you've had a couple beers, and you're like, what the fuck is that?
I mean, because everything, Kate, I don't know if you saw the pictures, but down to, like, the cabinets that have, like, all the different plates and shit. Like, the napkins had swastikas that were, like, pressed into it. It was everything. And one, I had no idea that they branded everything. Like, that's a lot of branding on
that's
everything.
That's a lot of branding. Certainly was. Yeah.
But, sorry, I know we're kind of harping on this, but it's go ahead. No. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, somehow less alarming but still strange was Harlan Crow's Garden of Evil in his backyard with infamous despots like Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu. I butchered that because I'm an idiot. Yugoslav dictator Josip Broz Tito and Russia's Joseph Stalin and Vladimir Lenin. And it's literally like this little garden pathway and you walk and it's like all these evil people statues. Quick refresher on Lenin. More than a million people murdered for religious or political reasons. Almost 500,000 Cossacks killed, hundreds of thousands of workers and peasants killed for striking, 240,000 killed for the suppression of a rebellion, 50,000 prisoners of war executed, between 3.9 and 7.75 million deaths from famines among the Russians, Kazakhs, and Tatars.
And those are inflicted famines. Like, those aren't natural famines. Those are famines that he inflicted on people.
Right. And these aren't just statues that he had made of them. So this statue of Lenin, for example, was an actual Lenin statue that was up in one of the city squares there. And it still has the wounds where protesters tried to knock it over into pieces.
One of them was covered in human feces whenever they got it because they hated the person so much he bought it and it was covered in human shit.
And he's like, I'm going to put this out when I have my morning coffee. I'm going to sit next to it and enjoy it in my billionaire home. Stalin took power in the 1920s, killed at least 9 million people through mass murder, forced labor, and famine. But the true figure, experts say, could be as high as 60 million.
Jeez. I think that's hard to even comprehend how many people that is. Isn't there 12 million people in New York?
During the workday.
So five times the population of anyone who – the highest that New York City's ever
just
been.
Just go over it with a steamroller, and that's about it. Dude. He's got a nice little Mao out on his lawn, Chairman Mao, lest we forget. From 1958 to 1962, his Great Leap Forward policy led to the deaths of up to 45 million people, easily making it the biggest episode of mass murder ever recorded. Just absolute horror. And it's not the extent of the catastrophe that dwarfs earlier estimates, but it's the manner in which they died. Between 2 to 3 million tortured to death, for like the slightest infraction. So when a boy stole a handful of grain in a Hunan village, a local boss forced his father to bury him alive. And the dad died of grief a few days. Like, countless stories like that, which as a parent, you can't even imagine. And anyway, that's what's in his garden, in his backyard, that he shows people for fun at cocktail parties. So Crow was reluctant to discuss his collection with the Dallas Morning News, but he did make sure... make sure to note, he's like, I didn't commission them. These were the actual monuments that resided
that's
in the public
worse,
squares.
Dude. Yeah, that's worse.
And he had them smuggled out of the countries where he purchased them for his garden oasis. And he said it was dedicated to man's inhumanity to man.
Why do you have to have a dedication to that? Like, I understand if you had, like, the Smithsonian. Like, if the Smithsonian was like, we're going to collect this and have a World War II museum exhibit. Like, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Or that, like, dictators, like, that makes sense. To have it at your personal house and to go to imagine the lengths that you have to go to get some of these statues. Like, this isn't something that you do over the weekend on eBay.
Right, which leads me to believe that there's part of him that supports what these horrible people did in some level.
Well, it's bizarre to me, too. Like, I understand how people say, well, you can't just erase Confederate history. But there's a difference between preserving the history in the correct context and still having these Confederate guys as the centerpiece of a town square or having it as the highlight of your home. Yes. Like, there's a big difference.
It's in vast, Texas, vast like, difference.
So you have a statue of Mao that's covered in, like, Texas blue bonnets.
Like, yeah, it's a little weird.
What?
Little weird. Yeah. I would have trouble having sex in that home, I'll say it.
Yeah, or
I'd
garden.
Have to shut the window. Mm-hmm. Anyway, while Crow's vast historical collection...
23-year-old Kate walks in to billionaire
Harlan walking right
Crow's
back out.
I'll
and
say it.
Right back out. To the Garden of Evil.
Harlan Crow, billions of dollars. I wouldn't be able to get wet in that house.
Okay. That was very graphic.
Yeah, seriously.
My pussy would be dry as a top of a mouse statue on a hot August Texas day. I'll tell you that. Anyway, while Crow's vast historical collection does boast plenty of impressive items, because he's got like... He's also got signed documents by George Washington and Christopher Columbus and Winston Churchill.
All fine. All fine.
Christopher Columbus, what a great guy. Monet paintings and other noteworthy non-fascist things. So he's got
that's very cool. Like Christopher Columbus, he did some bad shit too. Lots of people he killed as well.
But great boater if you're into
True. Very nautical.
Anyway, it's jarring because apparently if you're in there, it'll be like, a document signed by George Washington, a beautiful Monet painting, and then literally right next to it, a painting by Hitler. Like, he mixes the Hitler stuff just in with everything else. And like I said, context, pretty important. Maybe, whatever.
All right, so on a scale of 1 to 100, what do you think the odds are that one of W's paintings of, like, cats and dogs are in there, too?
Oh, I bet there's some.
I bet there's one as well. I bet he's got one.
I mean, my pathetic ass would like one. Say what you will. Maybe that makes me a Harlan Crow. I don't know, but I wouldn't mind a little George Bush painting me.
What if you could get W to paint Spork?
I for the right price, yes.
I would too. I'd commission that in a second.
Say what you will. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm starting to understand old Crow.
I mean, imagine that conversation piece. Somebody walks in and above your mantle, you got a George W. original.
That's awesome.
Good conversation starter.
Absolutely.
Good
absolutely.
Conversations. Maybe he.
Kate,
maybe,
why are you like? Why are you squirming like that? That would be such a bad thing. I don't understand.
Well, I'm an awkward person, but maybe he's got social anxiety issues, and this is just he needs like a powerful icebreaker. Like, whoa, you got a lot of Hitler stuff here. You know what's
well, I also got this W cat. Kind of balances it out.
A visitor to Crow's home told the Washingtonian. And this is what I've been saying. It would have been helpful to have someone explain the significance of the items. Without that context, you sort of just gasp when you walk in the room. So
no,
anyway,
but I think even with the context, it's too much stuff, my guy, Mr. Crow, Harlan. Well, it's too much Nazi
one
stuff.
One cup, yeah. Everybody knows the rules. Once you start going into multiple items,
because
one thing you could stumble across, and you're like, hey, I found this in a thrift store. It was too cool for me to pass up. It's a piece of history. Well, going over and smuggling statues out so you could put them in your rose bushes is fucking weird.
I did a deep dive on Nazi memorabilia in the U.S. and
your Google search history?
They said go to pretty much almost any like gun and ammo show and there will be tables legit just selling Nazi stuff. And then it made me think, if I ever needed a buck, could I start making my own that looked real and just sell it to these yuppies? But that's wrong. That'd be a bad thing to do.
But that, anyway, on the record, Kate considered making Nazi memorabilia.
Fake Nazi memorabilia to steal money from Nazi collectors.
Oh, good point, Kate.
And so then I would donate a portion of it to something good. Anyway, but there's a huge, real weird market for it.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to this podcast about this guy who went to tour a home. And it turned out to be, him and his wife were searching for a home. And I'm making this up. Say it was like in North Carolina or something. And it turns out it was the home of the local police chief, which he didn't know until later. But they get to one of the rooms in the home, and it was basically like a KKK history museum. All this KKK stuff displayed. And him and his wife were Black. They were African American. And they were like, there was no context. It was literally like a KKK shrine type thing in here. And he's like, what the fuck? And when he found out it was the town's chief of police, he was like, double what the fuck?
Yeah.
And the chief of police is like, I can have whatever I want in my home, blah, blah, blah. It's about preserving history. And it's like, no, that's weird.
That's like a Family Guy.
It's fucking weird. Yeah, it's, yeah. I swear to God. I'll have to find the pocket. Whatever. Anyway,
not only that, Kate, but they have people in, I don't know if you read it, there's a bunch of news articles about it a few years ago, where so many German soldiers and high-level German officers moved from Germany to Argentina.
Yeah.
And they had, like, all of their – they found all of these different boxes that were, like, personal letters from Hitler to these people, like, thanking them for their service and shit. Like, you find that stuff in the weirdest places. I ain't having a library full of that. Guaranteed.
No.
Has bad Never. Juju, as they say. But anyways, yeah. Obviously, photos of this Garden of Evil are making the rounds on the internet. And this editor for the Dispatch replied, it's not a tribute to evil or something to be mocked. It's an attempt to commemorate the horrors of the 20th century in the spirit of never again. Harlan Crow is deeply honorable, decent, and patriotic. He's not the straw man Clarence Thomas haters are trying to make him. And Judd Apatow responded, yeah, we all do that. My serial killer statue garden serves the same purpose. Sometimes I go out there and sit with Bundy and Manson and think about how killing people is bad. It's a helpful reminder. And I think that's the general sentiment.
Yeah. We don't need to be reminded. We didn't never want this to happen again. I don't need to
definitely
be told
not
that.
With statues.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you guys had to have a Garden of Evil, what statues are you putting in them?
So I'll go first and then we'll go around. So first up for me, the guy who shot me.
Yeah.
That's number absolutely. One for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fair enough. Okay. That's a good one.
Kate.
For me, number one, Hezbollah. This was shocking to me. I was a huge fan. Loved the guy. And then a video came out last week of him abusing his pet cat. And as a mother to a cat. And then all these other stories are coming out about he's not the guy everyone thinks he is. He's a mean boy. He's a mean man. Mm. And that really betrayed my trust. So, Hezbollah.
Okay.
That's a good answer, Kate. Cons?
Thank you.
My first one, I'm going Paul Johnson, the old coach of Navy, just because he tormented me and my entire Army Football Brotherhood for many, many years. So,
fair.
Paul Johnson.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Mm-hmm. My next one, King Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
Good one.
I fucking hate that guy. And I was on the record when that show was happening that season that I hated Joffrey more than the guy who shot me. So he's definitely on the list.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's the old man therapist that I started doing telehealth with during the heart of COVID when I was very alone.
This guy.
Who told me that maybe if I started wearing makeup, I'd feel better about myself. Those were almost his exact words.
He got to be put out there in the Garden of Evil.
I can picture every wrinkle in his little face.
Just cover up all those deep emotions with very superficial things. That's always how it works.
I was telling him about some self-esteem issues, and he said, it's honey, it's your looks. I said, that didn't help at all.
It's not your intelligence. It's not your wit. See your face.
Yeah. Anyway.
Your face is disgusting.
It's a problem.
He said, bitch, you're busted. I said,
you ain't busting, you're busted.
That's right. That was tough.
Oh, man. Huh? My next one.
But you don't have the Snaggletooth anymore, Kate.
True. Go back to him.
Be like, mama got some adult braces.
And he'll say, see, you took my advice. You went cosmetic.
We're going to take a little detour here. But, Kate, I think that's such a big thing, too, because it's not like braces is a one-day quick fix. Like, you committed to that, to
and you
endure
actually did
those
this
braces,
time.
And you followed through.
You know what else, though, that they didn't tell me? I don't have them in right now, but for the rest of my life, 24 hours a day, he said. 24 hours a day. I thought it would just be at night. I have to wear the retainers still.
Nah. You could get another 10, 15 years before anything's moving.
Yes. Yeah. He gave me $500 effing. He's like, here's four sets now, but you're going to have to keep buying these the rest of your life. He's like, you leave these out all day and only wear them at night, you are going to go right back, he said. So I'm still at work like, hey, guys, I got to take my teeth out for a little bit.
You got to do that. So you're going to be, imagine Kate at 80 taking
wearing
out her adult braces.
Yeah. So there you have it. That's
well, can't maybe, wait not if you're eating like Jell-O. And
do you know how hard it is to get in the mood these days? It's hard enough with a toddler, but to be like, hold on a second. Like, oh, I'm so
yeah.
All right.
I don't know about
no,
that.
No, I don't know about that either. my next one, Freddy Krueger. Dude terrified me.
Weirdly sexual episode.
Yeah, yeah, what's that about?
I might be horny. Earmuffs.
Wow.
Earmuffs. Jesus. I'm working from home today.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Cut that, Nick. Horny Kate's back.
I can promise
again.
You I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger. Right. That SOB terrified me growing up. I watched
Freddy
Nightmare
Kruger?
On Elm Street
yeah.
when I was like 5. Because I was at my neighbor's house, and they put it on, and I definitely should not have been watching that at 5 years old. So Freddy Krueger's had a real estate in my brain ever since.
Kate, who's the scariest fictional character for you?
I think it fucked me up
yeah,
bad.
It's bad.
Yeah, and the T-Rex.
The little girl in the
Park.
Rain coming through the TV fucked me up big time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a bad one.
It. Last one for me.
Wait,
oh, shit. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Mine, Jeff Fisher. Same reason as Khan's, but
yeah,
the Jags went 14-2. Both of the losses were to the Titans. Got to the AFC Championship game, lost to the Titans again, and then it turned out the reason why was because the Titans had stolen the Jags offensive playbook at the beginning of the year, and so every other team we were dominating. That's the year that we beat the Dolphins and retired Dan Marino 62-7 in the playoffs.
You know what?
So we were very, very good.
I feel like the Jags could have its own Garden of Evil. Who's the coach that put his finger in that lady's butt at the bar?
Urban Meyer.
You could have Urban yeah. Meyer. You could have Jeff Fisher.
Jack Del Rio
have...
wore a leather jacket, which is always a red flag.
Yeah, the Jags could have their own garden that
we really could,
would make
yeah.
you shiver.
And just Jeez. Being in Jacksonville, probably a lot of people in the front office still on meth. So,
sorry, real quick. Is leather jacket the single hardest thing fashion-wise to pull off?
Yes.
But if you do, you look amazing.
Like, oh, yeah, but there's...
I could see you in a brown... No, no, I could see you in like a brown kind of worn one a little bit, but if you came in wearing a black leather jacket, I'd say... No.
I don't know. I don't think I
well,
could
I think
do
like
it.
The camel color is a little bit different. Like if yeah. you have that one, but the straight up leather jacket like the Fonz, you got to be a special type of hot to do that.
Neither, yeah. No offense, neither of you.
No.
No shot.
Not even close.
I remember one Christmas in high school, my dad was like, I got a big surprise for you. And he had gone shopping with my Aunt Peggy, and they thought I would want a really sharp, big shoulder padded, like shiny ass black leather coat, like jacket to wear to school. And he was so excited to give it to me. I think I was in 11th grade that like I opened it and the implication was like, now you start wearing it. Okay, I got roasted so hard on the school bus that, and to this day, I feel terrible about it. And I got roasted so hard in the hallways of school that morning that I left it on a hook in gym class and just walked away.
On purpose.
Wow.
On purpose. And then I had to tell him it got stolen, but it didn't.
Oh,
do
no.
Did they know before or they find it
Is
out?
Is this how he's finding out right now, Mr.
Probably,
Mannion?
Probably.
Oh, God.
I know. But I mean,
you,
I was
before
already.
Before you got roasted, time. Kate, this is because I could see. You opening that gift and loving it, and then when you get to school, get because that happened to me with my Jacksonville Jaguar shoes when I was in fourth grade. Like I got some Jags shoes from Payless, and I thought they were hot shit. Go to school, get roasted, and then I hate the shoes.
No, I was devastated immediately
okay.
upon opening it. I said, "Oh my god, oh my god!" I knew.
All right,
I knew.
So
what
Jeff
I was
Fisher for me. Kate, what's your next one?
The Wawa worker who, after a wedding in Center City, Philadelphia, everybody's hammered, the bridesmaids and grooms, and we all go over to Wawa en masse to get our hoagies before we end the night. And I ordered this big, you know me, I get the 20 different toppings or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
My chicken salad,
disgusting.
Extra loaded. I get back to my room, I open it, I'm so fucking excited. Only shredded lettuce and pickles on that bun.
Damn.
Oh.
Damn.
I still think about
pickle
it.
Pickle sandwich.
I still
That's
think about
fucked
it.
Up. My worst yeah. experience like that, I did Uber Eats with Chipotle, And whenever it got here, the only thing that was in it was tortilla and black beans. I was enraged.
And imagine if you had been hammered. Like, there's a level when you're hammered.
Well, I don't know if I noticed. Hammered. Like, you just pull it out. No, and
but you have such high hopes for your food showing up, and then your food shows up, and talk about a letdown.
It feels like.
I take my response back. You guys are absolutely right.
Thank you. That's my Cons,
last one.
My last one is the coach, soccer coach in third grade who cut me from the travel soccer team, which ultimately set me on the path for football. So it worked out, but still, I can't, you know.
I have a hard time picturing you dealing with getting cut from something.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because you're a guy who I feel like succeeds.
Yeah, it was bad. I remember crying like a little baby back in third grade.
What a loser. Oh,
well, the biggest part about it, it wasn't even so much about not playing soccer anymore. It was like that all my friends made the team, and I didn't.
How do you deal with that as a parent? Oh,
I just remember bouncing between my mom and dad that night, going back and forth, and them like comforting me. And then I swear to God, this is how it happened. That week, we're driving in the car. We're driving by like the town hall, and this is back in the day when they would put like the different letters on the town hall sign for like updates and announcements. And it was like football signups. And I said to my mom, "Hey, can I play football?" And she went home, asked my dad, and they're like, "Yeah, sure." Started playing football. There's the rest of my life.
Did your son not make the pussy ass soccer team? We got something better.
Yeah. Oh, that's not real football. This is America. This is
come over to
America.
Are you American or not?
And I bet Big Al gave great pep talks about that. Like, we don't have to, we're going to move on. We're going to do great things. It's not the end of it. I bet Big Al was.
But Big Al was cool as hell, 90s
very
dad.
Sports dad.
Yeah, he was a great coach too. My cleats were always sparkling white. He would clean my cleats before every game. It looked like I had new cleats for every game. Nope, they were just cleaned.
My dad was drunk all the time and living in the back of a ranchero while I was trying to fish and squirting WD-40 into my eyes. So I had a different experience.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. That would have been cool if that didn't happen. I'm about to cry. We're going to have a crying episode.
If it makes
all
you
right,
feel
let's
any
move
better,
on.
My dad was great. And I threw out his leather jacket he got.
Yeah, glad that you guys are both like, "Oh, my dad listened to the episode. My dad listened to the episode." Where for the first 5 years of this show, my dad was in, he was mute,
he's
living
dead.
In a nursing home. So
your dad's not here anymore.
No, yeah, he's dead. So
anyway,
all right, let's move on to round number two. Today's show is also brought to you by Simply Safe, who's planning to do some spring cleaning this year. I am. Are you ready to dust those hard-to-reach places, clean this out, that closet out, especially with moving? I'm going to be doing all that kind of stuff. You know the one. Here's my advice. Clean your house and then protect every inch of it with Simply Safe Home Security. I recommend it to everyone. Simply Safe is designed with a cutting-edge technology that's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring. In an emergency, agents use Fast Protect technology only from Simple Safe to capture critical evidence and verify that the threat is real so you can get a priority police dispatch. There's 24/7 professional monitoring service costs under $1 a day, less than half the price of the traditional home security, and I would say way more than that. Before I got Simply Safe, I spent out the butt for it. Now I get a lot better deal. You can lock and unlock your doors, access your camera, and arm and disarm your system from anywhere. CNET named Simply Safe the editor's choice for 2023. You can customize the perfect system from your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/ZBT. To go today and claim your free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. That's simplysafe.com/ZBT. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Your so dad not, is I'm not, big time dead.
Yeah, so I'm going to just kind of explain this instead of going through the sheet of what happened, the reason why I was upset about this. So John Kirby is the press secretary for the intel community, basically.
Not National to be Security confused Council. With the Kirby who sucks things up and puffs them out at the video game.
Or the Kirby vacuum that you spend
right,
way too
not to
much
be confused
on.
With either.
That happened correct. To me once, actually. Annalisa and I were talking about that the other day. Whenever we first moved to San Antonio, it was the first time that she had a grown-up job and I had a grown-up job. And we were like, we got a little extra change in the old pocket. We had like $5,000 saved.
Kirby vacuum.
And I was like, let's get a Kirby vacuum. I mean, when they tell you you can get dead skin off your mattress, buddy,
you're
going to
buy it.
Yeah. You're going to
buy it. John Kirby. John Kirby.
John Kirby. Very different Kirby. So he is the spokesperson. And they finally answered some questions because the DOD and all the other different agencies, they had a report come out about what actually happened during the withdrawal. So John Kirby goes up there. He's answering questions from, I think the two people that he answered was a reporter from Fox News and another one from CNN were asking about the withdrawal. And one of his comments was, everyone's talking about how poor of a job we did, when in reality, the job was done better than any other withdrawal that we could have done. We did it the exact best way, and we achieved our mission. And I sat there, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he goes from that statement, and he goes, he said, anything that bad happened, it was because of the scenario that we were given whenever the old administration was leaving. And then he goes into all these different things, the deal with the Taliban was in place, how we were going to withdraw, the amount of troops, and how the different passports were going to be used, and all the different visas. He goes into all these excuses about what the Trump administration has done. And look, if you listen to this show, I'm not a huge Trump guy by any means. But when you're the president of the United States, and that is the position that you held, you either go in there and change the agreement and tell the Taliban to fuck off, that that's not the way that we're going to do it, or you don't complain about the way that you did it. Ultimately, you're the one that pulled the trigger. You're the one that initiated this withdrawal, even if it was done by the administration. Because how many times administration come in and be like, this Obamacare, for example, Obama leaves office, Trump comes in, they want to get rid of it. That happens all the time when the new executive is there. So the idea that he couldn't change it from what Trump said and what the Trump administration does is fucking nonsense across the board. Just stupid.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just can't keep picturing him saying all that, like, oh, that was the best we could have done. And I'm just thinking of Tim Robinson. You sure about that?
You sure about that?
You sure about that?
Well, mostly my brain
John Kirby comes out there, I can't stop drinking wine.
I know, I don't know the inner workings enough, but the more I've been looking into the failures of the State Department across the board the entire time, especially when it came to what caused the bulk of this chaos at the gate, was the lack of preparation that they had like a decade to do to help the people we promised would get out. And we didn't do that. And that created the clusterfuck at the gate that left 13 Americans and hundreds of Afghans mm-hmm. brutally murdered in the street, and not to mention everything else everyone went through. It was a massive failure across the board too by the State Department, and just I a horrible gag of fuck lack of oversight, but whatever. But anyways,
that guy deserves to be fired too. John Kirby, I don't usually call for people to be fired. Every time he speaks, I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Like,
yeah,
I have no idea what he's saying, and everything that it seems to be a lie. Like, he comes across as a huge liar. And press secretaries across the board, their entire purpose is to make whoever they're talking about look good. But when it's so clearly a lie, own it. Like, own uh-huh. some of it.
And
just
I think,
once.
Too, like, I think people would be surprised at because I feel like when they deny it, both sides are like, you're, fuck you. And I think what so many of us on whatever side of the fence you're on, like, I'm desperate for accountability. I'm desperate for someone to get up there. If Biden and Trump and Bush and Obama all got up on a stage and held hands and say, oh, we fucked it up, I'd be like, yeah. Oh, what a little relief off my chest. Mm-hmm. Thanks for saying that. You sure did. Y'all did. It would just be such a relief for me to hear somebody stop passing the buck and be like, boy, did we fuck up. Boy, right. Were we made a lot of us made a killing off that, didn't we? And we fucked up and that was bad. Anyway,
and that's private PFC level shit, like owning right? what you're supposed to do, taking responsibility for your actions. But that seems to stop at the rank of colonel. Like, once you're over the rank of colonel, you are no longer responsible for any of your actions whatsoever. Because how often do we see somebody with a star getting relieved? Like, it's not that common. And it never happens for battlefield incompetency. Like, that doesn't happen. It's usually for drunk driving or I fucked my secretary type thing.
Yeah. Speaking of higher-ups getting away with battle incompetency, everybody go Google the latest Duncan Hunter story and even James Mattis and higher level ranking people giving a pass to a friendly fire incident that killed Marines and left many permanently injured for the rest of their lives and no accountability. And they lied to the families for years. I'm rambling now. This is a totally different segue. I'm going on But just Google Duncan Hunter and news, and you'll find the latest on that.
Wow, what I was going to say is really
crazy.
So much...
Veteran Kate going off here. I just ran right now
with saw in the military examples you gave, and in politics too. It's not so much about taking accountability. It's always like, all right, if we say this, what's the fallout going to be? It never just stops at like, hey, let's just take accountability. It's like, all right, if we say X, what is that perception going to be, and what's the backlash going to be, and the response going to be, instead of just owning it and I think that would go such a long way. I think people would be pleasantly surprised if they just own their mistakes. The American public, by and large, might be like, all right, yeah, okay, I got it.
Yeah, and they also know that they're going to be playing pundit the telephone game, essentially, where what you're taking responsibility for, the next thing you know, another news outlet is saying that you killed a million babies. Like, that's just the way it goes. Let's move on to round number three. Today's episode is also brought to you by Proper Wild. If you suffer from symptoms of ADHD like I do, you lack a little focus, you have no productivity, your brain is constantly wandering, go in and out, you can't concentrate on anything that you're doing. I'm like that a lot. You need to check out Proper Wild's clean and all-day energy shots. Proper Wild uses organic caffeine stacked with L-theanine, which has clinically been shown to boost your energy, focus, and productivity. And this is the key part, folks. Listen up. Without the jitters or crash. I'm sure you've had other types of energy drinks or energy shots that give you the jitters and crash. This doesn't do it. There's no preservatives, no artificial sweeteners, no horrible chemicals, just a natural tasting energy shot with clean ingredients that works. I've been using it for a while. I've been telling you guys I like it. I love it. The flavor, if I'm feeling a little bit, I guess, sloggy in the middle of the day, I'll take one, get my energy back up and feeling good. Go to properwild.com/barstool to try Proper Wild for 30% off. Where we're going to talk some good initiative, bad judgment. I came up with some stories. Actually, Kate sent me the first one. The first up for good initiative, bad judgment. And then at the end of each one of the stories, we're going to say if it was good initiative or bad judgment, or good initiative, good judgment at the end of each one. So the first one up is from Dan Crenshaw, who is the representative near Houston, and he is a former Navy SEAL commander. What do we got here, Kate?
Yeah, so Representative Dan Crenshaw tried and failed to put a creative twist on the right-wing boycott Bud Light meltdown this weekend. The Republican joined other up-in-arms conservatives vowing to boycott Anheuser-Busch beers after the company partnered with a trans TikTok influencer named Dylan Mulvaney. Just saw Bud Light's stupid ad campaign, Crenshaw said in a video posted to his Instagram. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to throw out every single Bud Light we have in the fridge. When Crenshaw opened the fridge, there were already no Bud Lights to be found. All right, well, I guess this was easy, he said. Unfortunately for him, his fridge was packed with Carback, which also happens to be owned by Anheuser-Busch. So he was trying to say, look, I already got rid of my Bud Lights. I got this other beer that I'm going to drink from now on. And it was owned by the same company that makes Bud Light. So,
yeah, and when Kate sent me this story this morning, and obviously this story has been going crazy everywhere with Kid Rock shooting an AK into different Bud Lights, steamrollers blown in. There is no such thing in the modern world as a boycott. You cannot do it, no matter what industry it is, unless it's a small own. Even then, if it's there, everything is so intertwined. That's why when certain political movements call for that you're not a globalist, everyone is a globalist. Every single person in the world is, because nothing exists in a vacuum.
I was going to say, have you ever seen that graphic where it's like the same five companies own like every company we know of, whether it's food, whether it's household items, and it's crazy how they all roll up into these conglomerates. So you're right. You really just can't boycott
any one
company.
Yeah. You're going to be drinking at Anheuser-Busch, my friend, no matter what you do.
Somewhere, there's like two major beer companies in the world, and if you drink beer, you drink beer from one of those two places. And like, to further illustrate the point, the richest person in the world is not Elon Musk. It's the dude who owns like the major majority shares of like Burberry and Louis Vuitton and all those, every single luxury brand this guy basically owns.
Falls under one umbrella,
$200 billion net worth. Because not when he owns one company, it's because he owns a million. Like Elon Musk with Tesla, with SpaceX, so many things are intertwined. Yeah. The batteries that come from there. You cannot boycott anything in America and have it be successful.
I remember it being like, Dad, when I was in the Marines out in California, my dad came to visit. I was like, Dad, you have to try this craft beer. It's amazing. They put an orange slice on it. It was Blue Moon. I thought it was like this. Yeah. And I was like, this unique. And it turns out it's not Anheuser-Busch. It's like,
have you guys ever heard of the thing called a Hefeweizen?
Yeah. I was like, Dad, this is going to blow your mind. And it was whatever. Anyway.
You ever heard of a shandy?
I'm going to say bad initiative, bad judgment on that one.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't understand all the fallout from that. Like, it's a beer can, dude. Grow the fuck up. Like, yeah. You see something and you're initially like, oh my God. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Cons, what do you think? Good initiative or bad judgment?
No, what Kate said, both. Because it's just stupid. It's performative.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly. Performative. That's the perfect word for it. It's all very performative. And it's not just this movement. It's so many other different things, like banning books. Like, what are we doing?
I don't know, dude. It's crazy. Anyway.
Did you see there was one book that was banned? I think it was in Virginia. And it was about an enslaved person who had been freed. The middle school was named after this person who became like a big-time poet. The name escapes me. But the autobiography of that person that the school is named after became a banned book. An autobiography about what happened. The
same exact school. A bunch of schools are trying to ban The Diary of Anne Frank because in her diary she expresses like some sexual thoughts because she's a teenager going through puberty, and they're trying to ban it based off that. They say,
wait till you hear about the Song of Solomon. Solomon's talking about his betrothed having breasts the size of antelopes that scatter across the open field.
Indeed, a lot of horny.
Yeah, you know, when people come out and say things like that, Kate, Crenshaw maybe another example. It's like, you're almost putting on display that you didn't think any steps past what you're trying to do. Because, like, chaps, you're talking about the Bible. It's like, oh, well, we're going to let the Bible continue to exist everywhere and not ban the Bible, but we're going to ban Diary of Anne Frank. It just, it all doesn't compute, and I think people are just showcasing their ignorance when they do things of this nature.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, let's go to the second one. This one is a I posed the question, or I forget where it came from. Oh, there's an article about it. And there is a study that was done in Switzerland, and it said that 50% or more of males believe that they could land a plane without any type of training in talking to air traffic control. Before we go into that, I'll ask you, Kate, do you feel like you could land a plane using air traffic
control? No, I can barely drive my car around. No, I don't. Okay.
Cons?
Yes, if I had air traffic control telling me what to do, I'm getting that baby down. Now, will it be a clean, smooth landing like the United Pilot does? Probably not, but I think I could get us down to where nobody dies.
But you know what? Cons is right, too. Remember that guy who, rest his soul, stole that plane from the Seattle tarmac, and he was just like the baggage guy?
And he did like a whirly bird and like a
He did a full 180 in the air in that thing, and it was air traffic controllers like telling him a couple things of what to do, and he figured it out. So it gives us a little... No, he didn't land it.
Mm-hmm. I think I could do it, too. I think just based on the amount of technology, can I do it in World War II? No chance. Absolutely no chance. Just being thrown in there and being able to land it. Modern technology now where they could be like, all right, look three buttons down to your right. That's going to drop the wings down. That's going to do the fucking wheels down. I think I could do it in that scenario. Like Con says, I don't think I would do it perfectly by any means. And I also think the scariest part is when you're almost on the ground. Because then you could see how fast you're really going. Like, it's hard to understand how fast you're going just looking at the ground until you get low and you've ridden in a car that fast. Then you're like, shit, we are going real fast right now.
I'm going to say good initiative, good judgment. Somebody's got to step up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to just throw your hands up. You got to at least try.
Give me a little false hope before we smash into the ground.
Get a meritorious mass. That's a good wish a motherfucker would. Wish a pilot would die so I could do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on to the third one. This one's a horned up 911 dispatcher. This comes from San Antonio.
A Texas police dispatcher named Crystal Perez has been suspended from her position. This comes after her husband, Giancarlo Perez, found evidence that she had been sexting with seven officers, including two of whom she was involved in affairs. And I'll say this really quick. We me and all the beef here, we used to be long distance. And sexting is exhausting.
Oh, big time.
Yes, you got to think of the right things to say, but that aren't weird. And you got to, like, there's a fine line. And it's a lot of work. I can't imagine seven.
There should be
seven different people.
You got to have a horny app out there, too. You can't be doing that in your regular text messages.
No. It,
because what you think about when you're horny is so different from what you're thinking about at any other time. Like, if people had their, you can read your horny thoughts, you'd be so unbelievably embarrassed. Oh, and even going back with your partner.
You ever forget to clear your history, and then later you're out at Burger King, and you go to check something, you're like, oh, I forgot how weird I am.
Yeah.
I've never done that, but people have.
Annalise and I were on our way to our honeymoon, and I opened up my laptop, and we were long distance too, and she had sent me some suggestive pictures. Mm-hmm. And whenever I plug my phone in, you remember how it used to be
people could see it, Mac? Yeah.
Like, you plug it in and the photos would pop up. So the photo thing popped up, and it was like Annalise full out naked. And I was sitting on the aisle seat, and I didn't see it at first. Like, I looked over and talked to her, and she was like,
shut your thing. Everyone can see. Shut your thing up.
She's like, my tits are out. Like,
well,
sorry.
This lady, Crystal Perez, was doing this, sexting seven different officers while she was on duty working as an overnight dispatcher at Dick's.
You almost said dick sucker.
Overnight dick sucker at the Bexar County Sheriff's Office in Suck Antonio.
There's anything wrong with that. Yeah.
Yeah. She's currently on unpaid leave. Their conduct, apparently, according to the investigation, was found to be egregious enough to where we would issue those proposed terminations. I would also say, though, I bet in the room where they had to go through these texts and the evidence, they were howling. I bet they're, because, well, I mean, look at the Maroon 5 lead singer, how everyone was roasting him for his sexting that was so just lame and goofy. Like, oh, I want to fuck you so bad right now, blah, blah. Anyway, I bet that was a hoot to go
through. Ray Allen one.
Oh, yeah, that's classic.
That's a bad one. But I actually looked into it because it's here in San Antonio and there are some Facebook posts that shared some of the explicit text. Do you guys want to hear? I'll just read one.
Just give us one.
Kate, you might need to plug your ears.
Okay.
Because it's something. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to read this out loud because it's...
That's bad. If you don't want to read it, it's that's probably bad.
You guys throw your hands up whenever you're ready for me to stop. Okay. Okay. Here we go. What if I then told you to start masturbating and I lick my head slowly while looking into the eyes? And she said, it drive me crazy. This person says, what if I told you to make me come on your tits and rub my cum into your pussy while you clean the rest of my tip? I want to see you take your hand and rub my gum over your tits.
Sorry, I'm just...
And figure yourself thinking about it.
I'm thinking about Lenin, so I don't have to think about this.
Please stop.
Lenin, I'm thinking about Chairman Mao. Lenin.
All right, so is that good initiative or bad judgment?
Bad initiative, bad judgment.
I would
say good initiative, trying to keep up morale, bad judgment. Maybe bring in cupcakes.
Yeah, some of those text messages. And that was probably the cleanest one of all of them.
Yeah, that's tough.
Imagine being that person's spouse and somehow you come across these. Like, because it's one thing, it's obviously awful to find out that your significant other cheated on you in any way, shape, or form. Yes. But to find out they cheated on you with seven people, and then you see a line that says, rub my gum into your pussy.
Ugh.
Just unbelievable. Bad initiative, bad judgment, I believe on that. All right, let's move into the news roundup. Kate, what do we got here?
Welcome back. This segment of Zero Block 30 is presented by the one and only nicotine pouch that's helped millions achieve change, and a lasting one. That's Zyn Nicotine Pouches. What makes Zyn so special? Well, it's made with only 6 simple ingredients, up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction. 10 different flavored pouches, unflavored varieties, 2 different strengths. Plus, Zyn is the only nicotine pouch that offers a risk-free trial and a robust rewards program. There you go. Get your savings in there. So whether you tried to make a change before or you're just getting started, Zyn's got something new to make the change feel a little bit easier. A lot of options there. If you're a smoker or dipper looking to switch over, you know there's a lot of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Find your Zyn online or in a store near you at Zyn.com/find. That's Zyn.com/find. Yeah, a couple quick things.
Shout out to me for remembering.
Thank you. Yes, you did. Military.com, Jeff Zuzelowitz, I always butcher his name, and Irene Lowenson, they worked together on this article for Military.com where everyone's talking about what's causing the recruiting drop-off. Like, why all of a sudden it's like this sharp drop-off in recruiting? And a lot of people were like, oh, well, it coincides with the end of the war in Afghanistan and how bad that went. And others saying, oh, it's because the military's too woke now. And other people are saying it's, well, all the kids are fat and blah, blah, blah. Like, everyone has their different reasons. So these two actually went to the recruiters themselves. They went out into the field in all different cities all over the place and talked to the actual recruiters from the different branches. And overwhelmingly, they had an answer that hadn't been heard yet. And do you guys know what it is?
Yeah, I think it's that MHS Genesis, the way that they look into different type of medical shit. They can find out if you had ADHD and all that stuff.
Yeah, so Genesis is this program that was first used by MEPS starting, like, I think 2020, like right when the drop-off started. Mm-hmm. They coincide together. And recruiters are saying it's hindering recruiting big time. They say Genesis has ended their applicants' ability to gloss over or knowingly ignore minor medical issues like past use of ADHD meds, inhalers, all sorts of stuff before signing up. And if you know, I don't know how it is on the officer side, but when you go enlisted, your recruiter's like, be honest, you can tell me everything. So like I told mine, hey, I'm a party drug enthusiast who had a little bit of a nose pierce thing going on. I've smoked marijuana a bunch of times. I have a minor arrest under my belt for a little drunken public resisting arrest. Okay, I have a little bit of that. And I fractured my spine playing rugby.
Mm-hmm. All of which would be disqualifying in and of themselves.
One, because I had done my community service, it was really difficult to find my arrest record. He looked into it. He's like, I couldn't find it. So I think we can just, he's like, never mention it and let's hope for the best. I said, all right, bet. as for my enthusiasm for party drugs at the time, he said, never speak of it again, dumb idiot. I said, okay. And I didn't.
Yeah, because how are they going to tell that you did coke before?
They can't, and that was fine. But the third thing, my spinal injury could have been an issue. And he said, hey, that page of your mail, we don't have to include it. And nobody can look it up anywhere. It's fine. It's gone. Never speak of it again. And guess what? I did 5 great years in the military, had a great time, did the best of my job, and I was fine. With this new system, there would be no way for me to avoid any of my big-time rugby injuries, any of the things I had gone to before. You cannot hide that stuff anymore. And all of these recruiters, they all spoke under pseudonyms. They said, like, hiding a lot of this stuff is the only way we get these recruits. One recruiter said, he's like, I had 30 different recruits. Only one of them was clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
But because of before, he said, previously, I could have gotten almost all of them through with just a little like, shh, let's keep it under the rug. But because of this Genesis system, you cannot do that anymore.
You don't have like goody two shoes that want to enlist. Like a majority of people that enlist are not, I mean, definitely in our branch are not squeaky clean.
Like, but also
that's
too,
not
like
the way that it goes down.
Look at how many kids are on ADHD medications and all sorts of medications for stuff now. And that's like, so once one recruiter straight up said, now that Genesis exists, we can no longer hide things. And basically they're saying that we're screwed.
And like high level enlisted leaders and officers would be like, well, the standards are the exact same. We don't understand what's going on. And recruiters have been like, because people were lying. they were lying to get in.
And not only this, like a lot of times there's so much paperwork, there's so much stuff. It's easy to hide things and get things lost in the sauce. Yep. Genesis vacuums up the entirety of your medical history, and that's civilian medical records, hospital visits, prescriptions, and it flags them as a big bright red flag right away. So there's no hiding it. There's no getting around it.
But you know what else with that? That assumes I went to the hospital and got that thing taken care of. There are probably plenty of things that happen to people medically that they just never go to see a professional about, mm-hmm. that would probably be disqualifying even before all this. I'm talking about, you know, when they would lie to get people in. There's probably tons of things that never
football
came
concussions.
To
a lot of times those aren't documented. Like you'll just right. be like, okay, you don't need to go to the doctor, just sit out for a little bit.
And
like
I had three concussions in high school that never got like I know now that they were concussions. At the time, I never even came out of the game.
And that might be something going into it that if West Point had known, they'd be like, no, you can't enroll here.
Right.
Because you have multiple concussions.
But also, too, like, look at the three things that I said that I had that would have disqualified me. And I feel like I did a good, honorable job serving my country. Like,
well, you did. I read the report about it.
People can have these things in the past. And part of why I joined the military was to change, was to make something of myself. And I feel like that's a ton of recruits. And now they're going to be disqualified right off the bat. So for this guy, one recruiter to say one out of 30, this also made me think, too, how demoralizing it must be to be a recruiter right now.
Yeah,
it
one
is
of my
so
buddies
hard.
This morning, he said he's fucking miserable.
To do the work to get 30 is an enormous amount of work, and to only have one of them be able to get through,
it
it's so
demoralizing.
Doesn't
matter if in the screening somebody fails, like at MEPS, they have to go to boot camp in order for you to get, or graduate boot camp,
right.
I believe, is what it actually is.
And yeah, so like on that front, too. Jeez.
Physical limitations, all right, got it, because you don't want to have someone that's broke coming into the military. But who you were isn't always a one-for-one who you can become.
Right, mm-hmm. that's the point for a lot
there's
of us.
There's the example. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, you know what? Military set me straight, got me going on the right path.
Yep.
Don't deny that for a lot of people.
Exactly. Yeah. What's the next one, Kate?
Next one, just really quick, from Task and Purpose, Nicholas Slayton, covering the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Kathleen Hicks. She was at a symposium this week in Chicago that was led by comedian Jon Stewart. So it was the two of them on stage talking, and he really started pressing her on spending priorities in the military. And the conversation got really heated when he brought up what he feels is abuse and corruption in the DOD and how that hurts active duty service members. And basically he said, and this is true, in the most recent Pentagon audit, the chief comptroller found that the military could not account for more than 60% of its assets. And Stewart, a longtime advocate for veterans, said this reflects waste, fraud, and abuse. And he asked her straight up, I think, like, we look at all the equipment that got left behind in Iraq and Afghanistan, and a lot of us ask ourselves, like, what the fuck, dude? It's hard to
see
the
Taliban. That was
another
thing Kirby said. Kirby said we didn't leave more than $5 million behind.
Buddy,
and
it's
I was
billions.
Like...
So it's like, he's
you sure
asking
about that?
Her, he's asking, he was asking her a lot of questions that a lot of us have been asking each other and complaining about to each other. Like, you know what adds to the pain of this? That all this blah, 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 blah. And, she called his assertions completely false, kind of tried to say, well, she just, every question he asked, which were legitimate questions, the taxpaying public should be
incredibly
allowed to ask
dismissive.
These people. She was really dismissive. She kind of like gaslit him to be like, well, you don't understand what auditing is and you don't
right.
understand this and that. And this is the 2022 audit was the fifth year the Pentagon failed. And he was correct in his critique, saying that the proposed budget increased by $26 billion. So they keep failing. They keep failing. This Africa, and they still get paid more. And I just want to play this clip really quick. It's less than a minute, but listen to this.
When I see a State Department get a certain amount of money and a military budget be 10 times that, and I see a struggle within government to get people like more basic services, and then that department that got that, I mean, we got out of 20 years of war and the Pentagon got a $50 billion raise. Like, that's shocking to me. Now, I may not understand exactly the ins and outs and the incredible magic of an audit, but I'm a human being who lives on the earth and can't figure out how $850 billion to a department means that the rank and file still have to be on food stamps. Like, to me, that's fucking corruption. I'm sorry. And if, like, if that blows your mind, and if you think, like, that's, like, a crazy agenda for me to have, I really think that that's institutional thinking and that it's not looking at the day-to-day reality of the people that you call the greatest fighting force in the world. So I just, again, I get back to this idea of, like, I'm not looking to pick a fight with you, but I am surprised at that the reaction to these questions are, you don't know what an audit is, bucko. Like, that's just weird to me.
So yeah, asking her normal basic questions, and I think she failed that big time. Again, like we were saying before, we just want honesty and accountability. And not getting it. Instead, we're treated like we're crazy for wanting
And
to
I'm going
to
put this one in the category of good initiative, bad judgment, too. The good initiative is going out there and being on a panel with Jon Stewart. The bad judgment is going out there and being on an opposing side from Jon Stewart and getting interviewed.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? Like, the every single thing that he's passionate about, if he brings you on because he disagrees with you, you're going to look like an idiot. Just across the board.
And you have to know, like, he's always for troop. He's going to know that an enormous amount of troops are collecting food stamps and you just got a $50 billion raise. So what's going on there? Like, you have to know he's going to ask you about that and you have to be prepared. So anyway, I just thought that was worth mentioning. That's really it. Just two. Those are kind of long, but two's news roundups.
I just think it's interesting. The last thing I'll say about that round, like, you look at, like, publicly traded companies and they're regulated by the SEC, and if they got audited and there was this big of a discrepancy, they probably have some pretty hefty fines levied against them and potential sanctions placed on them. And the DOJ just keeps operating with impunity. Just keeps
going
on along.
There would be massive consequences if any of our significant others came home and 60% of our shit was gone. We couldn't account for 60% of our stuff and 60% of your paycheck. What do you do? The DOD is going to continue to roll on and continue what they've been doing for the last 60 years. So that's just how it goes. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Catherine, today we will start with you. Don't you fucking do it either. Don't.
I know. I literally, I do nothing in life anymore. I have nothing to say.
You did a bunch of stuff in the last few days.
You went
with your
son to Easter. Like, people care about you,
I don't think they do.
They very much do.
I was mom all weekend. I was momming around. I was doing mom stuff. The usual.
You did something.
Yeah, that's about it, though. I literally have no frame of reference for life anymore, and that's it. How about you guys?
Yeah, okay. Cons, what do you got?
All right, as you're listening to this, I will have already gone to see Bruce Springsteen at UBS Arena. Very excited. First concert seeing Bruce in, I think, 5 years. And I brought this up on Sunday at the Masters, because everybody knows the Masters, they don't let you bring your phones in, and everyone's just kind of there, present. And I said I would love to see this more at concerts. Like, put your phone away. No one's watching that 3 minute long video that you just posted. No video of a concert has ever looked good on social media. No one cares. I'm not there. I don't care. Take a picture for yourself for posterity's sake. Like, oh, we went to the concert. That's great. Put your phone away. Because also, you're never going to go back and watch those videos either.
Never.
Just be in the concert. Just enjoy the music.
Well, I think social media has conditioned us to look at life through the lens of how we show it to other people through our phones now.
Here we go. I love this.
And I feel like I find myself having a hard time. I'm very good about it now, but keeping my phone away with my son for the most part. But every time he does it, they're like, oh, I got to record this. For what? For who? Yeah. For what? Maybe, you know, down the line for me, but like, or when I see something beautiful when I'm out hiking and the whole point's to get away from my phone, I see something, I'm like, oh, well, this is something, you know, I have to show people what I experienced.
No,
it's like,
see,
no,
I
you
think
don't.
That's different, Kate. I think when you're out on a hike and you're enjoying nature, that might be one that you go back. Like, if you're taking pictures of, like, a nice landscape or nice flowers. But what Khan's is saying is right. Like, why, if you're spending $400 or whatever it is to go to Taylor Swift concert,
just be in the moment.
Why would you do it with something in front of your face? Why?
Yeah.
Because, like, people paying that much for Taylor Swift concerts, that's part of it, I think. They're like, I paid $400 bucks for this. Yeah. I'm going to document every second. Right. It's social clout, and that's why.
Well,
yeah, it's crazy.
I think it's silly. And then somebody's like, why do you care what other people do? Well, because when 400 people are holding their phone up in front of me and it obstructs my view, yes, then I care, because you're impacting my concert-going experience. Please, put your phones away.
You know
what
they should do at concerts? They should have something that you block the ability to have people with videos. Like, it's the same rule. Like, they do it at comedy clubs. Like, if you go to a comedy club, you're not allowed to have your phone out. And they do it on Broadway. Like, there's all kinds of other places that do that. I would love to have that.
Hey, the Masters. I've been to golf tournaments where you check your phone into a little locker the second you get there, and you don't bring your phone in at all.
Conrad's DBT invention idea. What about going out flip phones? Like where you buy like a $40 phone, it's attached to your same plan, but the only thing you could get, like, because me, with how old my kids are, I need my kids to be able to get a hold of me if they need
right.
it. So you have that ability to text, and only a couple people have it, but it's my going out phone. I'm not bringing my iPhone, not doing all that shit.
Or, like, remember how we had the jammers to stop IEDs from going off?
Yeah.
Yes. You turn a jammer on in the stadium, and it turns off your camera. You can still call and text, but your camera doesn't work. You got to just live in the moment.
You have to scan a thing to go in, and then you scan it on your way out to make your camera work again. Mm-hmm. You can't do it until you go
in. Yeah, and that, I mean, Kate, you know, as I get ready to have a child, and it brings me to my second and last point, I think it's great to have pictures and videos of your kid, because I do think those are things you will go back and look at. And I think about often, like, I print a lot of pictures out, because I think that's a fun thing to do. Look at a photo album, reminisce about whatever the picture is. So I do agree with taking pictures and videos of your kids.
But there's a limit. To where, like, am I just recording them or am I experiencing life with them right now fully? And you can't do that when your phone's out.
Yeah,
like,
and I think that's a challenge.
There's a balance.
I bet that's hard on a deployment, too, because you have so many more recording devices that are smaller, even from when we went. It'd be hard not to take pictures of everything. And I don't have pictures of shit, so it's hard to say, like, what I would do now. I think I would.
I remember
because
I mailed my
acceptable, right?
I mailed my ex one of those little nano iPods that you could put photos on and had pictures of my boobies on it.
Hell yeah. Well done. That was 23-year-old Kate.
It certainly was. Certainly was.
Speaking of kids,
Kate's buying a nano. These are my tits. Hell
that's
brother.
Literally what I did. Mm-hmm.
All pixelated and such.
I don't even have good tits. It was like two flat beaver tails. I was like, hope this gets you through.
If you're deployed, you don't care. Like,
no.
It could be the tits. Like, if you didn't know and somebody sent you tits and it was really the tits of like a
Brandon Walker
possum, you'd be like, those are good tits.
Yep. I'm a J off no matter what.
Yeah.
I have to give my wife so much credit. She is like overprepared for everything. You know, she's taking care of our baby registry. We have like the budget for everything that we need. She's out of this world amazing planning wise. However, she said something the other night and it made me stop in my tracks. And I was like, what are you possibly talking about?
There's no chance she's in your house like she was before because you're talking way too loud. And I know
she's in the office today. She's in the office today.
Yeah.
So
you're acting a little too free right now.
Yeah, you're being a little too confident there, Connor.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. We're on the couch watching something.
Just tweet it at Alex.
She'll be super, tell him to tone it down.
She's like, I've started planning a trip for next year when she'll be like 10 months. I'm like, in what world? Oh, and by the way, it was to Italy. I'm like, in what world do you think we're taking a 10-month-old to Italy? Because she's very much like, I don't want our lives to completely stop. And I agree with that. Like,
yes,
I want to like
agree.
Still do stuff. And we enjoy traveling. And that's one of our things. But I'm like, think about all of the things that we encounter as adults when we travel internationally. And now you want to throw a 10-month-old into that? No, I'm not doing that. I'm putting my foot down on that.
I think this is much like when Kate thought that she'd still be going to restaurants at like 10 p.m.
Yep. It was the first year of stuff. Now I can see David Blattman.
Remember when Kate thought she only needed like 4 or 5 onesies?
Yeah. Yep. Yes, that's what I thought. My registry had like 10 things on it. I was like, well, people in caves have a baby. They raise them just fine in a hut. No, I put like 10 things on my registry and then I had the baby and I was like, oh shit. But I would say after, because David Blattman, who we work with, just took his like 2-year-old and 4-year-old to Amsterdam for a long weekend. And it looks like they had a blasty blast. Me, I barely made it to Arkansas alive with my son. So who knows? It's each their own.
I don't know. 2 and 4 is very different from 10 months, though.
Yes,
very
I agree. That's tough. Yeah. That's tough. But I just think
you need the comforts of your home when you're 10 months old versus 2 and 4, you can get by.
Even
sentiment's
the idea
there,
taking,
though.
Yeah, it is. And taking bottles, and even if you're using formula, like having to go and tell the flight attendant, hey, do you have any hot water that you're normally using for the coffee? Then you have to go to the bathroom and get a bottle of water, mix that with the super hot water to make sure your formula is going, and doing that, going to Japan. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't even want to get on a plane. I don't even want to get on a plane with my child.
It's not as bad as you think. Despite the viral videos, everybody generally comes together to help you, I have found. Yeah. And I've had some rough flights, and people are very good. So I say go to Italy.
We'll see. I don't really have a whole lot. I am very excited. I think at this point, most of the listeners know that Kate and I are moving to Chicago.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I have to do is get my house ready for sale. And even though I only moved in here 18 months, there's always something that you have to do because my pool house got flooded during the winter time. And so you guys know, like the ZBT group chat, I feel like for a good couple weeks, I was like, this is going to cost me $3,000. This is going to cost me $2,000 over and over and over.
Yeah.
The handyman came today. All the different projects I need to do, just labor. $500, he said.
That's not bad.
No. When he said it was like when you go in to get a car and they're like, yeah, we'll knock a couple grand off. I didn't expect that at all. I legit thought I was going to have to pay $3,000 plus materials.
Now, does that emasculate you? Great. Does that emasculate you at all that he's like, oh, all this is easy. I could do it for $500?
Absolutely not, because it's coming out of my pocket. Like, I've worked hard enough where I feel like I can pay people to do that, so I have no problem doing it at all. And I think I do have the skills to do a lot of this stuff. Like, it's just drywall. It's like doing long-time toolies. I do have a basic skill set of tools now. I just don't want to. I don't have the desire to do that.
Well, here's the other thing about doing all of those projects. They take time, right? Yeah. And it's like, if I wanted to hang a drywall, like, I don't think, I don't know if that I could. But I'm saying, like, maybe you have some basic knowledge of certain things. I don't know. Because also, too, I don't do it for a living. So maybe, could I do it? Yes. Could I do it well? No.
So like when it comes to resale, you don't want to fuck around.
No.
Right. No. Yeah. Like, I've patched holes before, but I don't know that I can start hanging drywall. I don't think
this
so.
This is a dumb side note on prices real quick. I got blood work this morning. One little vial of blood. It cost me $150. That was after insurance. Guess how much getting one vial of blood. Guess how much it costs.
How much?
$2,000.
$1,550.
God, dude.
What?
We were talking about this in the group chat, too. Like, looking at health outcomes from different countries. The United States are the 52 major countries in the world that are the major economic countries in the world. We come in at 43rd.
It was crazy. So at first, I was like, the lady saw my face.
The world can't keep their people healthy.
When she was like, that'll be 150, my like jaw kind of dropped. I was like, well. And she was like, well, look at this. She made me stand up and look at the screen. She's like, it could be worse. This is over $1,000. I was like, what? Okay. Here's my card.
Do you remember
me.
How much your bill was at the hospital when you had cash?
It was almost $40,000.
Fucking insane.
And I ended up paying almost, probably overall from all the appointments the whole way through, probably around between $7,000 and $10,000 out of pocket. Yeah, it was crazy a lot. Town. It was crazy. Yeah.
Crazy town.
But right. He was an Upper East Side baby, so.
That's
very advanced, so that might
be yeah.
Bigger brain.
So. Yeah.
Heavier baby. They should make, you know.
I already don't like wherever this is going. I already. Sometimes I can hear something click in your brain and I think, nope.
What is it this time?
Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
What do you think? I want to hear what you think it is.
Something with weight and how smart and dumb babies are and their brain weight. Okay.
I was going to say that they should price them out like apples. Like
no, yeah, babies, see, not
babies are by the pound. Like if you have, because think about all the issues. If you have a preemie baby that's like 4 pounds, there's going to be all kinds of stuff you got to do to fix that kid up. But if it comes in at like 8 pounds, you know, you got a pretty healthy fella or lady on your hands.
You can pay up because you got the, okay,
you can
pony
it up.
That sounds great. So Vincent, a bad idea.
All right, well, that's it. Summer retreat.